B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
She's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon. She's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
She's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon. She's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon. With so many problems in her life, it really comes as no surprise. But she's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, she's gonna break.
Hardy and Arcan in for Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Before we get to the Ivy League sports story of the day in another state that says, at least someone in that state is saying they're not going to have high school football this fall. There's somebody who knows the song, and you guys have already checked on this. Marilyn Manson. I thought there was a Marilyn Manson song that sounded like the beginning of Michael Jackson, The Way You Make Me Feel. It's been driving me nuts for almost an hour now. Dan in Easton. Is it Dan in Easton? He's the one who knows?
Guess we'll find out.
One of them knows.
Okay, it's either Dan or Mike. All right, Dan, what do you think the song is?
All right, you're close with Manson. It's Nine Inch Nails, capital G.
That's it. That's it. It's Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, wow, yeah.
See, and didn't I say it may not be
Marilyn
Manson? It's capital G.
Yeah. That sounds just like the beginning of it, yeah.
Dan, kind of person, though.
Okay,
oh, wow, so, yeah. I mean, aside from that little beginning part, beat's the same. Yeah.
I used to do a mashup of it on BCN.
Mm.
That's why that station went away. All right, thanks, Dan.
You were ahead of that mashup curve, though, huh?
I really was.
Yeah.
Come on, girl. See? So, Mike in Reading, you can hang up unless you know. Is that the song you were going to say?
No, come on, guys. That wasn't the song I was going to say. Hardy, it's first thing, you guys are very pleasant, right? You're so pleasant. I can't even contain myself.
But it's starting to be our thing now.
We're very pleasing.
Pleasant, the pleasant posse. No, but it's Annie, Are You Okay? Remember? Smooth Criminal.
No.
The rock
Mike,
version. No?
Stop it. No.
That was Alien Ant Farm. That was a totally different thing.
There's something. People are all over the place on this. Do you watch Below Deck, by the way?
No, my fiance does, not me, though. I hear it's good, but I just haven't watched it.
Can I just talk to Dan about Below Deck before we start talking about the football stuff in the Ivy League? Go ahead, Dan.
Hardy. Oh, you guys are very pleasant. That was
an
astute observation.
Very pleasant show.
So I'm all caught up.
Yep.
The stoic guy that's got the hottest girl, I think, the one with the lips, the dark-haired lady.
Yeah.
Skeletons in that closet, huh?
The stoic guy? The quiet guy with the accent?
The tall guy, yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched the new episode yet, so I don't know yet.
Oh, I'm not spoiling it. Oh,
okay.
Boy.
All right.
Oh, boy. Just a little bit from his past.
Okay,
that
good.
That is kind of bad. And, wow, that the dumb guy.
Well, the dumb guy is they're going to edit him out of like most of the rest of this season, it sounds like.
Right. Well, he made it through this episode, and you can just see where it's going. He's got a few drinks in him, and wow, that is the creepiest person. Like, the girl he's going to hit on is literally making out with another guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that.
Right.
And he's telling this to another girl. It's very creepy, but yeah, that was a. There was a big bomb about the, I don't know, how do you describe that guy? He said he was a model or something.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You're talking about he was drunk. He's like young and has red hair, that guy? He was like getting drunk and everyone was what's up with this guy? I was listening in while she was watching it once,
okay.
And I saw that one scene. Is that the guy you're talking about?
Don't spoil it for me. Spoil it for me, Dan.
That's right. You're not caught up, so I guess we're going to have to do this again when you're caught up.
We'll do it tomorrow.
I don't want to ruin anything. It was a good episode.
No, call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. Beetle will be back here, but he's dead to me for taking this day off and sticking me with a guy who was, so valuable they fired him 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
You know, no offense, Arcan.
Oh, none taken.
You know what happened to you. So the
thoughts and prayers, Harry.
The Ivy, one of my neighbors said to me today, he's like, he doesn't listen or watch or anything. He's like, yeah, so some other guy who listens said you were gone, said you like quit. And, you know, people were like giving you their fond farewells. I'm like, no, I think that was, that was Beatle who tried to make it sound like.
When it sounded like you died, yeah.
Yeah, when I was dying.
Right.
All right. Nope. We're both still here. Our cat and I. We're cockroaches.
Neither of us died.
Nope. The Ivy League said no football this year, which from the outset, I mean, are you an Ivy League football fan?
I am not.
Okay.
I've been to one Harvard-Yale game when I was a kid, but I haven't been to one since, and I don't remember anything about it. It's too bad, I think, when they have to cancel any sports, but no, I'm not worried. I'm not upset about this, no.
Okay. So, upset from a fan standpoint, no. From a, how is this going to work out for everyone else standpoint, You know, feel free to get as nervous as you want, because not that anybody has forgotten, but I'll remind you anyway, the first big sports thing to cancel was the Ivy League basketball tournament.
Right.
And for about 15, 20 minutes, we all said, what a bunch of babies.
Nerds.
What are you doing canceling your tournament? You're just going to take, because at the time, they were just going to take whoever was leading the conference at that point, and they were going to get the bid
right
to the tournament. We're like, that's not fair. What a bunch of babies. Ivy League canceling their tournament. For what? And then everything on planet Earth followed suit. So now, the Ivy League cancels their football season. Not happening this fall. Nope. Not going to happen. I don't know that anyone is calling them a bunch of babies this time around, but how much do you think this could be a precursor to other things happening?
I think it is going to be. I think these are the canaries in the coal mine here, and they were the first time around. Everyone said, well, Rudy Gobert, that was what really set it all off. No, it wasn't. It was before. I mean, that was the big day, obviously, when Rudy Gobert tested positive and Tom Hanks and everything else, and they canceled the NBA. But you're right. The Ivy League tournament was canceled before that, and they proved to be ahead of this. Now, is this going to be something that will stop professional sports? I'm not necessarily sure. I think that you have a real difference between these student athletes and kind of the college campuses that they're on, especially in the Ivy League. Like in the SEC, it's different because sports are such a bigger deal there. But,
yes,
you know, they have an obligation to protect these students and make sure that they're safe and healthy and that they don't get sick and everything else. As in professional sports, you have the choice because you're making millions of dollars. I think that this was an obvious choice, I think, for the Ivy League. We'll see when the bigger conferences start following suit, then I'll be a little bit more worried, but I think this was something that was inevitable, and look where we are. Look at the situation we're in. How could you possibly have sports on some of these college campuses right now? You just can't do it.
So John Rothstein was the first one to report this, and then a guy named Brett McMurphy followed up with it on Ivy League canceling all fall sports. The one that we look at is football, and the updated info on that from McMurphy was that football might be played in the spring, but maybe not until fall of 2021. McMurphy also says, don't expect FBS to necessarily make same call. Sources telling Stadium. Quote, Ivies aren't as vulnerable financially. Well, we know this.
Right.
Ivy League schools treat athletics much differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the financial component can't be overlooked when it comes to the decisions that these schools will make. What are you saying, that they would endanger the lives of players, coaches, maybe even fans in order to not suffer some financial catastrophe? Yeah. Yeah. That's a big consideration in this.
Yeah.
But
and look at Stanford. Stanford's an interesting case because they're Ivy League, but they're also like a big sports program.
Right.
And they've cut nearly a third of their sports programs. That just happened today. So, you know, if even Stanford's getting hit by this, they obviously, they're like every other Ivy League school. Their endowment doesn't have a lot to do with sports. But that's a big sports program. It's a big football team. They got a lot going on there, and they're making big cuts too.
So now we have the Ivy League saying no sports this fall. They're all done. There is something from the state of Texas. Pro Football Talk now is a story up. Mike Florio. Dallas Independent School District Superintendent Michael Hinojosa told NBC News that he's pretty sure there will be no Texas high school football in 2020. I think we all know. We're all familiar with Friday Night Lights type of culture in Texas. High school football. Texas going through a much different wave of the coronavirus right now than we are here in the Northeast and in other parts of the country. However, this is still first wave type of stuff from what we're told. And it changes all the time. I get it. I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating to have mixed messages coming out, but the simple fact is that no one knows. No one knows for sure. And now we have a school superintendent in Texas telling NBC he's pretty sure there will be no Texas high school football in 2020.
Mm. That's an amazing announcement. That's just considering how important that is. High school football is in Texas. That's really something. And I think that, you know, you've heard a lot of mixed messaging out of Texas, but right now it's undeniable what's happening there and what the coronavirus case studies are like in Texas. They're just exploding all over. In Houston, it's dire right now. They have an obligation, like I said, with these colleges. And by the way, I know Stanford's not Ivy League. I was thinking of a school that's like a good school, but also has a big sports program. Stanford just popped into my head. But yeah, with high schools in Texas, you know that that's not something they're going to do easily. That's not a sword they're just going to lay down. They'll fight that. And it seems like they're starting to come around on that one as well.
All right. So, you got that to think about and that to weigh in on if you'd like, 617-779-0985. In the meantime, we still got to get to what's happening with the Red Sox right now. Rafael Devers, the rotation, all things to talk about. We're going to have this date in show history. I don't know if you've heard this segment, Arcan, but we've been doing this once a show, going back to whatever date we're on. In this case,
July, I have heard this.
July 9th, mm-hmm. You know, throughout the history of the show, and we'll relive a couple of those moments. And Bruce Arena, sporting director and head coach in the New England Revolution, will be joining us at 12:50 today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The former QB always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Don't sleep on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hardy and Christian Arcan in for Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Arcan, do you have any thoughts on Rafael Devers these days?
Well, he looks smaller than Pablo Sandoval, that's one thing.
Seriously, you're going to fat shame somebody. I mean, doesn't it kind of start and end with Pablo Sandoval? And by the way, I'm not fat shaming Pablo Sandoval either. It's baseball. What do you want? Mm. You know? You want to be... When's the last time a baseball player was working out with his shirt off and everybody went nuts talking about how good he was going to be that season? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Giancarlo Stanton, maybe, but yeah, I get your point. It's few and far between.
Yeah. I mean, I do find it funny, too, that Gabe Kapler was quoted in the Pablo
Stanton. There's a guy who looked good without a shirt on.
Right.
Gabe Kapler. Oh, boy. Get a load of those pecs.
I mean, he's his manager, and Gabe Kapler is not concerned. Gabe Kapler was... You know,
Mr. Universe,
by his own admission, too. Yeah. I talked to him talking about BCN days. This goes way back when we were talking on, because we had a lot of sports on BCN, obviously, with the Pats. And we used to have, you know, have Remy on and Gabe Kapler. And we would have I used to talk to Mike Gorman every week. And I had asked Kapler once, I'm like, do you think your physique maybe contributed to your Achilles injury, like too much strain, you know, trying to ask him, it's like, hey, did you go overboard? And he said, absolutely. He goes, yes. I mean, yeah, I wanted to be in good shape and I wanted to, you know, be fit and look good and all that stuff, but it didn't help my baseball. But Gabe Kapler's out there saying, like,
Gabe Kapler was like bodybuilder ripped.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But even he's saying, like, well, Pablo, doesn't matter. Mm. Whatever. I'm not worried about him. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Not as much time to shed all that, though. You always look at spring training, guys come in, they're all fat. Josh Beckett, remember, he came in, his gut was hanging out that one time. But they get into shape over the course of spring training. Now you got, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and then I always found it interesting that they would get out of shape during the season.
Right.
And because it has to do with, like, the travel, and you know, you, like, for guys who are losing weight, you plateau and then you start like just doing whatever you can to make it through the grind. And not that it's, you know, tough work, but whatever. It's tougher to stay in shape when you're on road trips, I guess, and to eat right than it is for when you're in spring training. That's all you're doing is training.
Yeah.
So, but with Rafael Devers, are you concerned at all?
More concerned about him being around somebody who had COVID-19 last week. I mean, he's not a small guy. Is he obese or whatever? I wouldn't say that. Sandoval, maybe, but I wouldn't say that about Rafael Devers. He's young enough, and he's come to camp looking big before, and he does sort of work it off. But even when he does, he hit for average and power last year, and he never really seemed like he was in great shape, did he? Like, at any point in the last two seasons, did he ever look at Rafael Devers and go, wow, that guy really worked off his baby fat. That guy really worked off all that chub he brought into spring training. I never thought that.
But I never cared. But I never cared either, because it didn't affect him. You know, I only care when it affects somebody like, you know, Prince Fielder, who would trip over himself trying to run home from third base. That used to make me say, well, obviously, now it's affecting your play. But it never seemed to affect Devers. The COVID thing, apparently he was, he's tested negative for COVID-19 three times, but he, along with some others, may have been possibly exposed to the virus. This is all from Ron Renicki. And some guys are possibly exposed. Group has tested negative three times. We'll continue to test them, being overly cautious. And that's why we've separated some of the guys from the later workouts. So, Eduardo Rodriguez included in one of the positive tests, I believe.
Yep.
How does that make you feel about that?
About the already stellar Red Sox rotation? Not good, Hardy. Not very good, no.
The rotation. This is why for baseball in the 60 games, and especially from a Red Sox perspective, you're going to play, you're not going to play. It's 60 games. It's about two-fifths of a season. Do whatever you want. What difference does it make? What are we talking about? I mean, it's not good, and if he's... if he's ill, it's even worse. But testing positive, okay, he can't go. Maybe he can't get ready. Does it matter? Could it possibly matter?
I think it matters in the case of Rodriguez, because Rodriguez is your only real starter that you have any sort of faith in. Nathan Eovaldi, who's pitching today in this inner squad thing, he's fine. I mean, I like him, but is he a guy that you expect even to make it through a 60-game season? I think that's ambitious. That's an ambitious goal for him. And after that, you got Martin Perez and... that's it. I mean, you really don't have anybody else. Ryan Weber was, I think, a reliever last year, and they stretched him out. They're probably going to have to do what the Rays did and have a bunch of bullpen starts. But the bullpen sucks, too. So, you know, you tell me. The only good guys in the bullpen are Matt Barnes and Brandon Workman. That's your setup guy and your closer. You can't start a game with them. Heath Hembry, I mean, who else even is there? You have a really, really bad pitching staff on this team this year. And maybe the 60 games will be enough to mask it if they slug their way to victory. That's happened before. That can happen in 2 months. But if it's pitching that they're relying on, they're porked.
It's unbelievable to think that, and I don't want to say that anyone would have chosen this or, you know, is thankful for this, but in many ways, the Red Sox as an organization, at the very least, avoided a lot of criticism and a lot of bad talk about them by having this happen, because what you're looking at right now for this staff, this was the staff for opening day.
Right.
This was your rotation. This is what they were going to roll with. This, and who knows what deals they would have been able to make, pre-All-Star break leading up to the trade deadline, all that. They don't have to worry about all that now. And thank goodness, because just from the look of it on paper, they would have a lot of work to do, to the point now we're talking about using a couple of different openers for these games. Could you imagine going through a full season of this?
No.
And the beating they would be taking from the likes of us and everybody else who expects them to have a real baseball team?
Yeah, and deservedly so. This is still a team. I know they cut back on salary and everything, and they traded David Price, and they traded Mookie Betts, but they're still a $200 million team.
Right.
And to have a rotation like that is embarrassing. And I know Chris Sale got hurt, and he had the surgery, and we'll see if that, you know, really affects his future. I think it has to. I don't see how it doesn't. A guy with that build at that age, you know, you might have seen the last best days of Chris Sale here, but between Rodriguez, Eovaldi, the kid McHugh they got from Houston. There's not really much to work with here. Martin Perez, I think, had the highest whip in baseball last year. I would think if this was a normal season, they'd probably be out on the trade market right now or looking at free agents or looking to do something, looking to make a move to shore up that pitching staff. Because right now, it's dreadful. I mean, it's one of the worst I've ever seen with the Red Sox here since the new ownership group took over.
It is amazing, too, that, as you said, Christian, they made these moves as a means to avoid any luxury tax that they would incur for a second or a third straight year. And this is, you know, this is the artificial salary cap that exists in baseball. All of these teams have agreed they're not going to exceed that luxury tax right. threshold for more than, you know, 2 years in a row. That's it, because that's when the money really starts to double up. It increases exponentially, the percentage of tax that you have to pay on the amount that you're over and above that threshold. So they just, you know, all kind of decided, well, nobody does that. Nobody goes over the luxury tax threshold for more than a year or two. And so as a means to get below that, they trade players, they get rid of some of these big salaries, and they're still one of the most expensive teams in baseball. And this is it. And Chris Sale is part of it. He's what just, you know, he's one guy out of a staff. You've got everybody else there, and this is what you were going to roll with for the season. Again, they're not happy about it. They'd rather be playing games. They'd rather have even, you know, a two-thirds of Fenway Park full of people all season long. But in many ways, they avoided a lot of headaches by not having to play a full season. And now people would just be grateful that they're back and playing.
Yeah.
Hopefully, should that end up being the case. 617-779-0985. We will talk a little bit more about, speaking of stadium capacity, what the Ravens are doing in their stadium. But we also have some thoughts on the coronavirus, courtesy of Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if you saw what Jim Harbaugh had to say about this.
I sure did.
What Jim Harbaugh had to say about this in the spring. Were you aware of this at the time, T-Bone? I'm not a Harbaugh guy. I wasn't a Harbaugh guy before he went to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You
didn't like the khakis, right? Is that it?
If that guy were wearing a leather duster, he would tuck it into his khakis. Anybody who tucks a sweatshirt in deserves
some
a
real problems there.
Deserves
yeah.
a long, hard look. I never liked his hard-o move with Jim Schwartz in the middle of the field after the 49ers beat the Lions. Oh, my God, you beat the Lions. Congratulations. You know, well done. Nobody ever beats the Lions. You remember that? And he gave Schwartz the big, hard slap on the back in midfield, and Schwartz went, you know, chasing after him to give him what for. He's just a hard-o.
Schwartz is a hard-o, too, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Harbaugh's got a foot and a half on him, and you just won the game, you know? Don't be a jackass on top of being a hardo, and that's what Jim Harbaugh is. Some of the stuff he said in the spring, let's just say it doesn't exactly jibe with what he's saying now when it comes to the coronavirus. So we'll get into that a little bit. And as I said, take your calls at 617-779-0985. Headlines here, it's Hardy and Christian Arcan in for Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you notice that Arcan's time and temperature is like almost like a forecast? And he went deep, told us, you know, at what point is it going to be the hottest part of the day and all that stuff.
That's right.
What are you doing over there, pal?
It's all that training I got at Total Traffic.
That's right.
Yeah. I can
no
do the traffic.
Point, though.
No dew point. That's true.
It is important. More, you know, he's
give the lotto numbers too, Hardy, if you want.
Well, you are correct in that. It's not so important what the temperature is right now. What's going to be at like 2 or 3 o'clock? What's it going to be like today? I know what it's like right now. I can stick my arm out the window.
Exactly.
Right? What's it going to be at 3?
Yeah.
You know? And if you were listening.
87 degrees later on.
Yeah, you just told us. All right. So Jim Harbaugh, head coach, University of Michigan, in April said that, and this is from Barstool, by the way, he said COVID-19 was essentially a message from God. All right. He said when the game of football has been put on pause, at least physically, Harbaugh believes there's a silver lining to come from all of this. Quote, I don't think it's a coincidence, personally, living a faith-based life. Oh, hold on. This is a message. This is something where a time we grow in our faith. Having reverence and respect for God, you see people taking more of a view of sanctity of life. I hope that continues, and not just in this time of crisis or pandemic. Okay.
Okay.
It's everything happens for a reason type of thing. And
right.
He's saying that the reason...
We turned our backs on God. That's why the coronavirus is happening.
Turned our backs on a respect for life.
Right.
It goes into... and it brings up abortion in this, and I'm not going to get into all of that. And then yesterday, he said... Harbaugh said, I'm moving forward.
We actually have the audio.
Oh, you have on what he said. So this is from 2 days ago now. So that was in the spring.
Okay, that was when it first started. His take has evolved.
It's not a coincidence. Uh-huh. This is a message. This is something, a time to grow in our faith, having reverence and respect for God, sanctity of life. And I hope that continues, not just in a time of crisis or pandemic. That was April.
Okay. Right.
2 days ago, he said what?
If it comes to a point in time where, you know, we can't play, you know, it's obvious, it's clear, then everybody would be reasonable and know that that was the right thing to do. But, you know, COVID is part of our society. It wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. Oh. And there's, you know, no expert view right now that I'm aware of. These kids have to do the same thing. You know, they've got to go to school. They're been training their whole lives for the opportunity to play their sport. And that's my view with the knowledge that we have. It would be my responsibility, our responsibility, and the player's responsibility also, you know, keep themselves safe and also, you know, get the schooling and the training that they need.
So it sounds like while he's not willing to say there's any expert on it right now, and he's right in that this changes all the time. It is a far cry from somebody who said it's all a message from God. Now it's
right.
Like, hey, we got to get back to school and got to get back to playing football here. Hey, we got the message. He said it's a different conversation if there's no students on campus. If students are on campus, and my personal belief as a parent of a daughter who would also be on campus, that this is a safe place, safe as possible, university, buildings, complexes, safety precautions have been put in place. Believe that medical oversight of the students, athletes, I want that responsibility. I wanted the responsibility of keeping our players safe and educating them.
There's a difference, though, between going to class and going to football practice.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of a difference there. You're in an enclosed space, I guess, but you're not tackling anybody. You're not showering with anybody. You're not doing any of those other things.
Well,
so, you know,
maybe
on what class it is, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you are. Again, in April, this is a sign. This is a message from God. We all got to take life more responsibly. 2 days ago, Jim Harbaugh now says, I share the same opinion as our players. We want to play. We're training their whole lives for these opportunities. Put the question to them, which I have, would they rather play than not play? They'd rather play in front of no fans than not play. The message is changing, it sounds like. He's got a little different attitude on it. Oh, wait a second. It's all fine and good to take the spiritual world view,
mm-hmm.
You know, the universal truth view in April. But, no. Oh, wait a second. There's no football now? Well, come on. We want to play.
Yeah.
We got to get out there and play now.
I guess we have to turn our backs on the Lord again if we're going to go out there and play some football.
Don't.
Which is a tough road to hoe, you know,
don't.
Especially if you're a religious person. But I like how he said that, you know, football didn't cause the virus. Like, oh, well, I don't remember Dr. Fauci ever saying something like that. You know, he never confirmed that football didn't cause the coronavirus.
Not confirmed.
Never. Totally unconfirmed.
Nope.
But we get to hear it from we had to hear it from Jim Harbaugh.
So he's saying that hopefully there will be an announcement made in the coming weeks. But
That's a pretty hot take. That's a pretty hot coronavirus take. Not as hot as Joe West. Joe West had the hottest coronavirus take I've ever heard. But it's pretty close. It's a pretty close second, I would say.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Joe West said, ain't no virus going to take me down.
That's right. that health nut over there.
In fact, I wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it go. It's called Coronavirus Ain't Gonna Take Me Down.
Have you heard his music, by the way? Have you heard the music of Country Joe West? It's not terrible.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's not. I was expecting it to be much worse.
It's terrible.
He can sing a little bit. Like, he can carry a tune better than I can. I was expecting it to be totally horrible. I listened to it. I thought, you know what? This is better than I thought it would be.
Tutcher and Ridge play a clip of Country Joe West, and it's like this spoken word part of the song where I maybe we'll have a chance to find it here sometime during the show. But he says he's having a conversation with a young man. It's something like, I said, how old are you, son? I said, I'm 14.
Uh-oh. <it's> just... Where are you going with this one, Joe?
It's kind of like it reminded me lyrically of what I've heard of Country Joe West. It reminded me of Billy Joel lyrics in that there's very little poetry or metaphor in them. As someone said to us once, Billy Joel lyrics read like witness testimony. It's like, sir, do you know the defendant? Yes. Where it's at, Mr. Cacciatore is down on Sullivan Street across from the medical center. Yes. Traded in a Chevrolet for a Cadillac. I know all about it.
Bottle of red and a bottle of white, and it depended all on his appetite.
I'm sorry for the rhyme there. It got a little too artistic. I'm going to give you the facts as they are laid out in front of you, and that is it. There'll be very little nuance to this. That's what the Country Joe West lyrics appear to be.
All right. I mean, that's most country music these days. Very straightforward.
And you think it's not bad?
It's better than I was expecting. McCarthy played it for me the other night, and I was, because we were doing a whole bit on Joe West and his coronavirus takes, and he goes, have you heard his music? And I knew of it. I knew he made songs. I'd never heard it before. And I was expecting just an absolute disaster.
Son.
Oh, here we go.
I'm 14. Yeah?
Yeah.
What year were you born? 1952.
Oh. Wait a minute.
I'm not too good at math, but I knew that couldn't be right because that was the year I was born.
That's pretty funny, Joe.
Tommy Lasorda is another character of the game.
This is what you say is not too bad?
I hadn't heard this.
It was a big, heavy set.
I heard the Big Dog song. Can't run with the big dogs if you're a puppy or something like that.
We left the cards at home plate with the plate umpire. We're going out to our positions, and Lasorda yelled out of the dugout.
Oh, yeah, this I did not hear that.
When can I get you and Eric on this Slim Fast?
This isn't even a song, though.
Because Tommy was this big, big supporter of Slim Fast. When are you guys going to get on Slim Fast? When can I help you lose some weight? So I yelled back at him. I said, Tommy, Eric had 16 of those shakes today for lunch. I don't know that you can drink anymore.
Is this like an interlude in between songs, maybe?
This is Country Joe West. This is what you are on record as saying. It was pretty good. What I heard of it was not bad.
Yeah. I didn't hear that. What I did hear, I thought was okay. I mean, that wasn't really even a song, though. It was just him mumbling stuff about Tommy Lasorda.
That's what I know from Country Joe West. Okay. That's as far as I've investigated. But you're right. Lyrically, not all that different from a lot of modern country music. You know what I like? Chicken fried. I like cold beer on a Friday night. You know what else I like?
Good girl, straw hat, something like that.
Yeah. I like a pair of jeans that fit just right.
Yeah.
And I like the volume on the radio turned up.
All the way up.
You never get a second chance.
Here we go.
Make a first impression. And you can't live your life in a state of depression. Mistakes that you make in life sometimes seem too many. But remember that hindsight is always
20/20.
Cause you can't run with the big dogs if you act
like a puppy.
You can't swim with the big fish if you splash
like a guppy.
Yeah, I know what's coming.
You can't run with the stallions if you trot like a colt. You can't tighten that lug nut if you don't
got the bolts. Come on, tell me you didn't want to stand up and start dancing to that. Do a little square dance. Do a little do-si-do to that one there.
It's like there's a Microsoft program for writing the lyrics for you. It's like, what do you want to talk about? Puppies, and like, we got it. Puppy rhymes with guppy. What else? Horses, colt, what else? Changing tires on cars. That speaks the other.
It's manly. Manly stuff.
We got it. Just plug and play. There you go. There's your song. It's written for you. Three chords.
Yeah.
You might. We may do a fourth on the bridge, but for the most part, it's going to be three chords. All right. 617. Oh, no. Forget about the phone number. We got this date and show history coming up next. All right. Strap in, Arcan. You're going to like it.
All right.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Oh, we got some of my all-time favorites here today. All right, it's This Date in Show History, Christian Arcan.
I love that graphic, by the way. Zolak as Doc Brown is fantastic.
Yeah, I always forget to look at it. So Beetle gets to be Marty McFly
right.
in that graphic, I believe. Well, right, he got the best of it there. All right, This Date in Show History, obviously going back and looking at the 9th of July over the years, we begin with one of my favorite all-time moments. Dave O'Brien on a Red Sox broadcast doing a little what we call in the biz a cross promo, and he's just got to do a little commercial announcement about a concert that was coming up.
Let's check out what events are coming up at Foxwoods Resort Casino on Saturday. It's Jerry Seinfeld on July 13th celebrating 50 years of Yes. August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots. So, terrific lineup coming up.
Yeah, one of the
I love Bush and Stone.
Bush and Stone and Temple Pilots. So,
that's tough.
So, Dave O'Brien, I remember looking it up at the time. How old do you think Dave O'Brien is?
I think he's in his mid to late 40s, I would say.
He's a little older than that.
Okay.
He was born, oh my God, he was born in 63, so he's 56 years old.
Oh, wow, okay.
All right, so let's take it back 30 years, okay?
Sure.
Let's take it back 25 years, to be fair. Let's take him back to 1995,
okay,
when Bush and Stone and Temple Pilots.
And the Temple Pilots, yeah.
Right, we're all at it. He would have been 31 years old.
Mm.
Should a 31-year-old know about Bush and Stone Temple Pilots?
I would think so. They were big enough then, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
don't you think? And wouldn't you have heard of Stone Temple Pilots by now?
Definitely.
But instead he rolls with...
August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots. So, terrific lineup coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Was Scott Weiland still with us when he did that promo?
2018, no.
No, I don't think so. So it must have been the remaining members of the Temple Pilots, right? Or maybe he thought that Scott Weiland was Stone.
I saw that tour.
Stone and the Temple Pilots.
At, I don't know what it was called at the time, the Blue Hills Bank Pavilion?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably Blue Hills Bank. I saw that tour, yeah. With the Cult, Bush and Stone.
Is that what Harbor Lights is called then?
And Temple Pilots, yeah.
The Blue Hill Pavilion, okay.
It's Bank of America Pavilion. I think it's Blue Hill. These things change.
I saw Stone Temple Pilots with Weiland at the River Raven, I think 98 or 99, at Foxborough. And that was an awesome show. It was them, Cypress Hill, The Offspring. Oh, man, that was a great one. I was a senior in high school. We had a blast at that show.
What year were you a senior in high school?
1999.
God grief.
I was class of 2000, so 99 into 2000. Yeah. It was that summer, I think.
I understand.
It was awesome.
Those Stone. The new singer from STB is good. If you saw Scott Weiland in his prime, and, you know, it was fleeting. You know, you have good nights and bad nights. I don't know that I ever saw him put on a bad show.
He was amazing.
Big Jim and I are in lockstep on this. The man was born to be a rock and roll frontman. That's what he was. The guy just owned the stage. Dave O'Brien, not a huge fan, though.
Maybe O'Brien thought that it was like a Sly and the Family Stone situation, like Stone and the Temple Pilots.
Yes.
Now it's
yes.
just the Temple Pilots because Stone's not there anymore.
Right. It's like Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship,
right.
Starship, you know, it's just changing the name. Something Scott Zolak related on this Dayton show history. Zol returned from vacation and had some memorable moments.
How's those almonds? Yes. The non-salted almonds.
You like almonds?
I like almonds.
You don't say it's not almonds?
Yeah, everybody loves almonds.
Almonds. Thrown in the face of your teammates. I'm going to give you one, you give me one. And he knew it and he felt it and he let everybody feel it.
That'd be fun though. Nice hot day like that down there. Just get squirted. Squirt me in the face. Never mind. God dang it.
Thank you.
What was that?
Don't know. This is what I have to look forward to next week. Beatles back tomorrow. I'm here all next week again with Zoe.
Mm. And he's back from vacation, which is what happened there.
It's exactly what it's going to be. I'm going to have, that's what Monday.
He just sort of downloads every thought he had from vacation. Right out. Just kind of gets it all out there.
All at once,
is,
yeah. All on the same server. There's no external hard drive. It's just all on the desktop. And then all the programs open at once.
All viruses everywhere.
F me. Oh, my God. Monday. Mondays, that's the carrot I have dangling in front of me at the end of my weekend. Mm. Monday with Zoe back from a week off. All right. We had earlier this week, we had a YouTube reporter who updated us on Jason Pierre-Paul.
You had a what?
It was a YouTube football reporter who had a Jason Pierre-Paul update.
Okay.
I don't want to say that the guy was just reading from, you know, tweets that he was reading online, but, you know, what are any of us doing here, Arcan? You know, you out there, you know, digging up your own sources. Who's to say you or I are any better than this guy?
I didn't even know there were YouTube reporters.
Well, this is a YouTube reporter. This was after Jason Pierre-Paul blew his hand off with a firecracker, but he's given us an update now today. This was from last year. Oh, no. My God. 5 years ago.
Jeez.
5 years ago, July 9th, 2015.
And the update is this man is probably going to be put on the NFL injury reserve list, so he won't be able to play for the entire season, man. A lot of flesh has got to go back into his hands and everything. They said the injury isn't career-ending and everything, so he will be able to come back. But, you know, chances are he won't be playing this season just because it's going to take a little time and stuff like that. And another big thing is that the amount of fireworks this man was packing. This man had a whole van. I'm talking about a whole, you know, like one of those rapist vans, like the white vans, the minivan.
Whoa. Jesus. Took a odd turn there.
He waited for the beat to drop before he got into the blue stuff there, too, yeah.
Mushroom candy shopping? Like those kind of minivans. He's got a huge, it's not even a minivan, it's just a van. Like, that thing was stocked with fireworks. So, I mean, of course, something was down to happen. And that's just a dumb decision by him. He wanted to ball out on the 4th of July and just make it rain with fireworks.
Now, is this the same reporter that called him Jason Pierre-Paul? Is this the same?
Different guy.
Different reporter.
Pierre-Paul.
Now, the one that we played earlier this week, was he the guy that talked about the three-point stance, T-Bone? All these things get mixed up.
Yeah, this might have been the same guy.
But we don't have that. So one of these guys in their reporting on Jason Pierre, or as one of the reporters called him, Jason Pierre-Paul, said that the injury was going to make it difficult for him to get into the three-point stance.
Oh, yeah, right, because you just fall over.
Well, no.
You're trying to get the fingers down.
He felt that the three-point stance meant the thumb, the index finger, and the middle finger.
Is that not what the three-point stance is?
Breaking news, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Who is this guy?
It's another YouTube reporter.
There's multiple YouTube reporters.
Oh, God, yes. YouTube, it's not just the one guy. I don't know if you've ever been on YouTube. There are literally dozens of videos on YouTube that you can watch.
I've seen a few dozen, yeah.
Maybe even hundreds.
Seen a few of them.
He said he can't get in the three-point stance, though, because if you got a couple of those fingers blown off, now you're down to 2 points.
Right.
Maybe just the thumb and the one finger.
Just throw the stump down, though. a lot more balance, I would think.
If he's missing parts in his fingers, man, that three-point stance is really, you know, you need that. You actually need fingers for that. Three fingers.
He took the three-point stance very literally. Like, here's a point. Here's a point. You know, that's one, two.
Right.
Then just one toe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the three-point stance is. Oh.
You a fireworks guy?
I have been in the past.
Uh-huh. You enjoying all this, by the way? All the fireworks every night? Are you getting that down where you are?
Mine were gone. We had two bad incidents. There was one that went off for like a half an hour between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. I know because I was looking at the clock. Mm. And then there was another one that lasted another 30 minutes or so around midnight, 1 a.m. And then 4th of July, you kind of expect it.